Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hey,
Lisha, how you doing?
Happy Wednesday.
Good.
Yes. How you doing this evening?
Good. Well, how was your week?
Oh, my week has been busy. I only just got in like minutes ago, but I'm here and ready to great show this evening.
Absolutely. Baby girl graduated. How was it?
Oh, Lisha, it was beautiful. The weather was out. It was held outside on Friday. The weather was great. The family came in. My mom was able to make it. It was just an all-around great day for her. And she's still bubbling from that day.
Messi's still on cloud nine.
Yes, she is, and climbing higher.
You still on mommy cloud nine?
Yes. Can you hear it in my voice?
You know,
so
now
already,
they say that, you know, when the last one leaves, you know, the mamas and the daddies start acting kind of, you know, funny style. Have y'all got there yet?
No, but they're still in the house. So we still have some time to get to that point.
You said, nope, not yet. Nope, they haven't gone anywhere yet.
Nope, that's still on hold for us, but it's all good. She's all registered for college. She got her classes. Had that for the last 2 months, so she is ready for the next stage in her young life.
Absolutely. So excited for her and your family. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's get this show on the road.
Yes. Well, once again, everybody, welcome to the Wednesday night edition of Writing Royalty Radio. My name is Toni, and I'm one of your co-hosts this evening. We have a fantastic show lined up, but I'm going to pay some bills before I kick it over to my beautiful co-host. We have two phenomenal authors on this show, Vinnie Capri and Aaron Bebo. So I'm going to give off a few of the hit titles that Ms. Capri has. She has the T-Track series 1, 2, and 3, and 4 she is penning. But now I can't wait. She also has the Trust No B series, and she shares that with the one and only Cash Street Lit author. That is an all-time classic that you must, I repeat, must have in your library. Now, she also has under the G Street Chronicle, Tainted, Lies, Fear, and Death. She's also working on part two, so keep those cyber eyes peeled. G Street is taking over. Now, my co-host, Mr. Bebo, he is no slouch with his pen. He has some phenomenal works, and I must admit that I have, in the midst of reading Cupid's Assassin, I finished that yesterday, started Bunches of Love, which is Cupid's Assassin part two. That's going well. And under the umbrella of the powerhouse G Street Chronicles, he has I Used to Love Her, my all-time hip-hop favorite, and he is actually penning part two, so I am excited about that. And those are just some of the powerhouse 10 that these two fabulous authors have. And right now I'm going to kick it over to my beautiful co-host, Mrs. Lisha. Once again, what's going on, girl?
Hey, everybody. What is going on? What is going on? It has been a hot, hot week for us readers. I'm telling you right now, get your pencil and paper. We got some one-clicks that need to be happening. And I have a few updates. All you Zane fans, all you Zane fans, Zane has another book coming out on August the 5th. That's correct. You heard me correct. Zane has another book coming out on August the 5th. You want to keep your cyber eyes peeled. We also going to have some more information about Zane as the time goes by. So everybody stay peeled to Writing Royalty Radio, and we will keep you posted. And don't forget, she also has her movie Addicted that will be coming out. So we'll also keep you posted on when that's going to be coming out and when it'll be in theaters. And I believe it will be out soon. So I'm super excited because I actually saw the trailer for Addicted. We went to the movies, and that movie is going to be hot, okay? The other thing is, are you Ashley and Sam fans? Product Plan 4 is out. So get your one click shopping on that. You Wahida Clark fans, you know I must have been working extra hard because I missed this, and I kept passing by it, and I wasn't really paying attention. Wahida Clark will have another banger coming out. It will be The Golden Hustler Part 2. You can do your pre-orders on Amazon. Golden Hustler Part 2 will be coming out. Wahida Clark is showing out with that pen in 2014. Ain't no telling what else that she's going to have in store for us, so I am super excited about that. Mr. Bebo, how you doing today?
I'm pretty good.
Hey, B.
All right.
What's going on?
You working that pen? Are you over there grinding?
Yes, that's all I'm doing. It's working.
Absolutely. Keep your cyber eyes peeled. Darren Bebo is cooking up, you know, when he gets in there cooking up some juices in them books. Ain't no telling what he's going to come out with, so he's cooking up some good for us. I'm super excited for that. Also, all you Aaron Bebo fans, on the 12th, Aaron Bebo has a book signing. So if you are in the Florida area, go ahead, B.
No, go ahead. That was my little under the breath shout out on the law while you were saying it. It was supposed to be like a rap. I was like an ad lib.
It will be at Books A Million, 2006 58th Avenue in Vero Beach, Florida. That will be from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, July the 12th. That is next Saturday. So all you Aaron Bebo fans, head out there. All you G Street fans, head out there. If you are in the Books A Million area, you will not be disappointed by this man's pen. Head out there and get you guys I Used to Love Her, which is his debut book under G Street Chronicles. It is a 5-star banger, so you got to get that in your collection if you don't have it.
Stop.
Go ahead.
You got to get that. Now, I was just going to say that they really need to get that. And I'm like, they need to get it more so because of what was part two is going to be so crazy. Like, I'm feeling real good about while I'm writing this book. So I already know, like, it's going to be way better than part one. That's why they need to get up on part one now so they already be knowing what's going on. They familiar with, you know, the direction I'm about to go in part two. You're going to definitely need part one in your life to understand what's about to happen in part two.
Uh-oh, I told you.
Wow.
Didn't I say that, Tony? I said he cooking some stuff up. Ain't no telling what's going to happen with the director behind that pen.
Yeah.
So, that's true. Get out there.
Yo, Tony, I'm really, you might be my last, you might have been my last Cupid's Assassin reader.
I gotta tell you, Vivo, I read Cupid's Assassin, as I said at the top of the show. I finished it in like maybe 2 days, and yesterday I finished it, and I started with Bunches of Love yesterday. And between you and me, I mean, I commute back and forth to work, so that's where I spend most of my time. So between you and Nene, I'm sure my commuters might think I am a crazy woman. I was squealing as I was reading the acknowledgement the way I did when I read Nene. Some people giving me the side eye. And between Rosalind's book and Shakir's book and the P-Trap, I'm covering my iPad because I don't know who's looking over my shoulder. So they must think I am one crazy commuter. And I want to thank you for that acknowledgement. I just saw it yesterday, and you know I am very appreciative, and I appreciate you.
Yes,
and I'm sure
you
know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
absolutely.
Thank you. I mean, listen, I'm glad that you were able to, you know, go out and, you know, read the book. And you are excellent friend and great supporter. But I got another surprise for you. By the way, Cupid's Assassins and Bunches of Love is no longer available. That's what
no!
I'm going to tell you.
I've been telling people.
Yeah. Nah.
Wow.
I got
Bunches of Love, y'all. Bunches ain't no joke, y'all. She kicking butt and taking names.
Yeah, but I got something special coming. I got something real special coming. It's going to be real fly. And let's stay on the lookout for that.
Wow, they missing out because I did not see the direction that you took Cupid's Assassin. And I must say that Musa, am I pronouncing his name right? That was a total surprise.
Yeah. You know what? But you know
wow.
what? Leisha ain't like she didn't like his name. That
no,
was it. That ruined it for
her. I didn't
her.
Like the name, and I didn't like Bunches. I didn't like Cupid's Assassin. Aaron already know. I did like Bunches of Love. He couldn't understand how you like one without the other, but I did. I thought that Bunches of Love was like his best book yet. I enjoyed
no,
it.
I enjoyed the
hot spots he put in it. I enjoyed the drama and that ending. I was like,
what?
No, don't say the ending. I was like, that's right.
Yes,
I'm
but
not
I appreciate you, definitely. I definitely appreciate you. And I definitely got some real good things coming up in the works. We got about to announce our Bad Apple cover model. We got a bad apple model. About to be crazy,
ooh.
Y'all. Yeah, they're going to love her.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Bad Apple, Baron, Bebo, G Street, they going down. It's going down. Y'all keep your cyber eyes peeled. And speaking of a hot collab, you know that Cash and Capri, they got that hot pen. Telling y'all right now, get that Trust No Bitch 1, 2, and 3. Because they are working on the prequel, which is the Eyes and the I Am story, and that is coming out soon.
That's
going to
be hot, too.
All of the Capri fans, keep your eyes peeled because from what I understand, it's coming out super, super soon. And we're going to be seeing
wow.
it this summer. Yes. So y'all already know when Cash and Nene get their pens together, it's always fire, always a banger, so I'm super excited for that. That would be 4 books in that series.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to be crazy. It's going to be a hot summer. We working.
It is.
We working.
Absolutely.
For real.
Well, let's
have
it.
Just wait on the website, too.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Portia Sterling, her pen. Oh, my goodness. I'm just telling y'all right now. If y'all have not picked up a Portia Sterling book, you got to pick it up. If you are on Facebook, I have put the link just to their pages. So when you click the link, her pages on her books on Barnes & Noble, whether it's Kindle or paperback, and her books on Amazon, whether it's Kindle or paperback, will come up. You got to get you some Portia Sterling in your life. And that real thrill, yes. Please believe me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling y'all right now. So I got the links that I actually pushed when I pushed the show. So the links will link you up to their author page, and all of their books will come out, will come up, and it'll be either paperback or Kindle, whichever is available, and telling y'all got to get these books in, get these reads in, because he got this hot one out, that Bullet Day. I read part one. So, if I'm not mistaken, part two is coming, but if you are not familiar with Rio Terrell, that he had a series called The Cocaine Princess, which that was like one of the first books that I read, and I actually read his series backwards. And I know that there are more books out, but I read two, and then I read one. So, telling y'all, hot series. Y'all got to get The Cocaine Princess, and then he has the Bullet Face. I'm telling y'all, it's gonna be a hot summer.
He also has Sweet
Licks.
He also has Sweet Licks. That was pretty good too. I read that. I'm a big Rio fan, and I love the Cocaine Princess series. That was a hot series. That was my introduction to Rio, and I haven't looked back. So we've got some great authors and some great books coming on. So I'm excited to get to meet Mr. Terrell and Portia. I have to get Portia in my library. Sounds like.
Girl, yeah. You got to get you some of that Portia Sterling. She has Ride or Die Bitch 2, which is out. That's out now. But she has Three Queens. The Ride or Die Bitch 1, I believe, is 99 cents. She has Rookie Love. The Three Queens, I believe it's just 1, 2, and 3, if I'm not mistaken. But y'all got to get some of that Portia Sterling in your Kindles and in your libraries, most definitely.
And that's a good thing. You know, with the show, sometimes you don't always have that time for pleasure reading. So my pleasure reading right now has been Lebo's book, Pieces of Love. So when I do have some time, I try to catch up. I have so many books on my Kindle that I haven't been cracked open yet, but I would definitely put that on my list to read.
Most definitely. And we're waiting on our authors to call in.
But we got somebody with a one lifted up. Let's see what they got to say.
All right.
Okay.
803-662. Good evening. You're live with the Writing Royalty Crew. Oh, man, they hung up immediately. They was done playing around.
They said, what did you say? They not here yet? I'm going to call back when they get here.
It was like, don't be taking my call.
It disappeared quick, too, Bebo.
For real.
That's okay. That's okay. We got some people that are just sitting back listening, and we appreciate you guys. And I hope you're excited about the show we have planned for this evening. But they're back, but they didn't press their one, so we won't bring them back in. You see that, B?
Say it one more time.
Call drop?
It's 803.
No.
I see them.
Yeah,
hear me?
But they ain't got they wanna. They ain't got they one up now.
So maybe they just wanted to listen.
Yeah,
they're
just
waiting.
Listening. But
he's on his way in.
We do got a hot topic tonight, which is the allure of the game. You know what I mean? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Okay, is this one of our authors? 404-390. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Portia Sterling. How are you guys?
Hey,
Portia,
how are you?
I'm doing great.
That's what's up. I like the energy in your voice. You sound like you're happy to be here.
I am. I definitely am. I'm very excited.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Well,
welcome to the clubhouse. We are honored to have you this evening. This is Tony, and I am looking forward to getting to know the author behind the pen.
Hey, Tony.
Absolutely.
Hold up. We got to establish something right now. I don't know if you knew this or not, Portia, but I'm the only one allowed on the radio at one time to have a sexy voice. So you got to tone it down.
Oh.
Get the volume on your excitement or something.
Oh, no. We can't make it no exceptions? Like, there's no exceptions to that rule? Really?
Right. Take your stilettos off. Put your feet up. Kick back. You at home. That's all right.
Absolutely.
And we welcome Sexy in the Clubhouse.
Thank you, thank
right,
you.
We just can't have one person being the sexy voice. We need more than that.
He gotta
Carrie,
share the spotlight.
You can share for a couple hours. It's all right.
All right, I ain't gonna say nothing else for the rest of the show.
Aaron has a fan club for just for his voice. They probably haven't even read the book. It's just his voice. Did y'all hear Aaron?
I'm the Barry White of Urban Radio.
Yes. He got folks zoned over his voice.
Plus, we spoil people to being the only man on the show. We spoil them.
Oh, okay.
Can you just give us a little bit about your background and let the audience know who you are?
Sure. So, as I said, I'm Portia Sterling. I have 5 books out now. My first series that I started was 3 Queens. So there's 2 books out. I have 3 Queens 1, 3 Queens 2 out. And then 3 Kings is the final part of that series. And I have that'll be coming out soon. And then I also have the Ride or Die Bitch series. There's 2 to that that's out. And I have Groupie Love that I wrote with Naya Moore. And she's also my business partner. Her and I are both the CEOs of Royalty Publishing House. So that's a little bit about what I do on the professional side. On the personal side, I'm a mother. I'm, you know, of course, I'm an author. I do a lot of things outside of writing. I'm definitely a reader first and foremost. And I'm a really laid-back person, really honest and open. Anybody that's my friend on Facebook will kind of see that. That I'm just a really outgoing personality, and I don't know, that's about it that I can think of right now to share.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yes, it
is. I was hipping Miss Tony to some of your books, but she hasn't gotten any in her library yet, so I was hipping her to your pen, trying to, you know, get her going. Now, I do
Thank
have a
you.
Question. You have a bachelor's in psychology?
Yeah, I have. My bachelor's is in psychology. My master's is in business administration. And from there, like, I'm still kind of working in that field, but I probably should have just started with writing from the beginning.
Absolutely.
I probably should have.
I was going to ask, now, how did you make that jump? Because you started with one direction, and now you just went from one direction and swooped around and did a left turn.
I know. I started writing really early on, and it's really a crazy story. I started writing. My grandmother gave me this word processor, and I started writing at 7 on this story. It was supposed to be like this mystery thriller. Like, I was throwing everything in there. And I had been working on it for 3 years, every day after school, and then one time I saved the file incorrectly and it erased everything. And I was so upset, I just stopped writing. Unless it was, like, academic writing, I didn't do any more writing. So I really didn't start back writing until last year. I had been thinking about the 3 Queens storyline for about a year, and then I decided to go ahead and start back writing. So that's kind of how I went back into it. I took a huge, long hiatus, and then I came back and decided, hey, I want to pick up writing again.
Okay. Now, another question, because you said that you have your own publishing company. You're a publisher now, but you were signed to Dana Weaver.
Right.
So are you doing, you do both? Yeah, so you're doing both. You're like, you got the dual thing going on.
Yeah, well, Royalty Publishing House is a sub-company under SBR, so it's all kind of connected. And I'm still writing. I still write under SBR Publications also.
Absolutely. If you guys have not gotten the David Weaver book, that Bankroll series is business. So
right, definitely.
Super excited.
Did you say you had a major in business?
Yes, I have my master's in business.
A master's. I'm sorry. I said major. See, you're supposed to jump all over me right there. For real. So, what was your idea? Did you always see yourself in publishing? Is that why you went towards a major in business?
No,
I mean,
not initially.
Right, here I go.
Not initially, no. My master's in business just came from me. Honestly, after I got my bachelor's in psychology, I did an internship, and I did a little bit of interning with psychologists that helped people who were on the brink of divorce. And so after that, I was like, no, I don't want to do psychology anymore. So I went. So from there, that's why I was just like, well, I'm going to do business. I know I want to, you know, be an entrepreneur. I want to do something that has to deal with, like, knowing how a business works and how it operates. So that's how I ended up going that route.
Okay.
It's funny you said that, too, because I just graduated, and I'm looking to get my master's, and I was like, okay, well, my bachelor's is in information technology and securities, and I was like, well, you know, people are more, they're more exciting than computers. I was like, well, I'm going to do, I want to be a marriage and family counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was exciting.
And then I started, you know, thinking about it. I was like, well, no. So my mom, she had came and she was talking to me, and I'm like, okay. So then I said, okay, well, I think I'm gonna do my master's in business only because it's universal and
it can be
used anywhere in any scenario in any situation. So it's funny that you said that. And I started thinking about it. I was like, most psychologists or therapists or counselors, they need a counselor, therapist, and psychologist. Dealing with other people's drama is like a headache. And I'm like, if I don't want to do that every day, you know, so I'm like, I really thought on that. So I can see why you made that change.
Yeah, I mean, but it gave me a lot of material when I'm writing. I'm like, oh, wow, like, I can reach back to my internship days and pull some drama and throw it in a book.
Absolutely. Something you haven't even thought about. Go ahead, B.
So what genre would you classify your work as?
That's a good question.
I tend to do that.
Oh, that's your thing. Okay. It's been classified as urban fiction. I really don't feel like it would just fit under urban fiction. It's also a little bit under women's fiction. That's how Amazon classified it. But I really just feel like it's definitely like an African-American romance. I would kind of put it in that area. I think it's a little bit broader than the genres that it's been classified under. I definitely have like a little bit of, you know, that street flavor in it. I kind of throw a lot in there. There's a little, with Three Queens, I put a little bit of suspense in there. It's a mixture.
Okay. So you would go for more of an urban romance fit.
Yeah, I think that feel would be okay. It definitely has that feel to it.
Okay, let me ask you another question now. In your opinion, do you feel that most readers, the readers that you come in contact with, they prefer a love romance story, even when they're screaming for street lit? Do you feel like if you were to offer street literature and it didn't have any romantic feel to it, that it would throw off the balance of the story?
I definitely feel that way, and the reason I do is because I'm pretty open with a lot of people that have read my books, but a lot of people that read in general, I ask a lot of questions. And I ask them a lot of times, like, what is it that they like to read or what is it that they're looking for? And that's one big thing that I've always heard people say. Like, one big thing that I hear is like, oh, I want to read about thug love, or I want to read about, you know, hood love, stuff like that. Like, that's, I've always heard people say that they want to hear, they want to read about romance in a story.
Okay. I feel, I think that too. I believe that too as well. That's why I asked.
I see our other guest, Debo. He's walking in the clubhouse now.
Okay.
Let's bring him in.
Good evening. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew.
Is this, hey, this is Rio. This is Rio. Can I talk now? Am I supposed to start talking yet?
Yeah, you
hey,
live.
Hey,
Rio,
how
live.
You doing?
Hey, what's up? What's up? Hey, everybody.
What's going
who is the host?
On?
Aaron, B, Bo, all three of y'all there?
Yeah, we all here.
Man, I just want to say, Nene Capri, I see you with the Pussy Trap series, and, you know, that really inspired me to write a lot. I try to write a whole lot, because every time I see them, I remember when I saw them on the bestseller list when I was in there, and it inspired me a lot. I checked out some of the books. But hey, everybody, how y'all doing?
Okay,
well, I'm definitely
good.
She is on her way in. She's actually, you know, she stays on the road, so she's traveling back in from a signing. I will definitely, she will be on, and I'm sure she'll be excited to hear that. Why don't you give everybody a little bit about yourself and your literary journey?
Well, I'm Rio. I'm from Chicago originally, but I was out here in Mississippi, Indiana, a lot of like back and forth. You know, it was like a gang culture where I was at, and my brother was on the run. You know what I mean? Such and such. So we came out here, and then, you know, I was just back and forth from Chicago, that gang lifestyle. That's why I write about it, because that's the whole lifestyle out there. And, you know, I got locked up, kept getting locked up, and I started writing, reading a lot when I was locked up. All my life I've been getting locked up, because I was like 9 years old. But I always read.
Wow.
I was just bad fighting, you know, from out there. And I always read. Mm-hmm. I was saying, because I was always in the hole for beating somebody up.
Okay. let me ask you a question. I know, because I know brothers read a lot in prison. And when you were reading, do you see any difference in the literature that you're reading now today that's being brought to the market?
Absolutely. Go ahead,
brother. I'm glad you jumped all over it, because you already know where I was going.
Absolutely, it's like, it's more like, it's kind of like commercial fiction now, like with the urban fiction community. It's kind of like commercial fiction. It's like, if it ain't about, you know, like, you know, the designer bags and everything. And I ain't just into it because it was what I was influenced by. I'm looking at what they doing, and I'm like, damn, man, why everybody's more just watered down, just, I don't know, it's more watered down than how it was, like, with Quan, you know, like the ones I used to read. Like, Quan, I love Quan work. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I don't really read, because I done read so many urban books, and all of them really have the same plot, and I don't really like to stay in the lines like that. Like, I love Quan books. He's one of the great, in my opinion, that's one of the greatest authors in Black history. Like, can't nobody really paint the picture of the, you know, the urban movies as well as he can, but nowadays, I don't know, it's the same watered down to me. It's too much beef, and I ain't on that. Like, everybody want to gossip about each other, talk crazy and all. Everybody hate on her, but, man, I ain't on that, man. I just want to write books. And, you know, give people a little bit of my experience in life. And that's why I wrote that bullet face, you know, for the crib, it's for out here. But he's just like, I ain't thinking about nobody. I'm writing books, man. Try to do my own little thing, my own little lane. Not everybody else.
I
definitely feel that.
That's definitely what's up.
Question for Portia and Rio. It's for both of you. Because it seems like you both have said the same thing. But just said it a different way. And with all the different books and the different authors, and, you know, some of it is watered down, some of it is a little, you know, just fluff nowadays. What are you guys bringing with your pen differently to the industry that sets your books aside from other authors?
Ladies first.
Portia.
Okay.
Portia was going. Yeah, you said ladies first. He gave you the ladies first sign.
All right. Well, I think something that I offer differently is that a lot of what I write comes directly from experience. That's one big thing. I have a common theme that I write about. I like to write about the strength of women in my book. So it's coming from a genuine place. And I'm one person that I really enjoy writing. Like, it's not something I'm doing because I feel like it's a competition or I'm trying to, you know, make a humongous amount of money or nothing like that. Like, even if it were just me writing for myself, I would still be writing. So I think the fact that what I'm doing is genuine and it's close to what close to the things that I believe in, that's something authentic that I offer.
Absolutely. And me,
yeah.
I think,
mm-hmm.
like, mine, what set me apart is, like, you know, it's genuine, too. It's the game. But, like I say, I talk about the gang culture because that's where I come from. Like, where I come from, it's the, you know, it's gang banging. It's Vice Lords, GDs, and all that. In Chicago and out here, it's the same way. And then, like, with me living a lot of my life being locked up, incarcerated, it was gang rides and gang fights all the time. And then I come home, and, you know, it was the same thing, just selling dope. And, you know how it is. It's horrible in the black community. I hate to, you know, I'm not going to boast about it, but it's, you know, it's a wild lifestyle out there. So I just read about that. I just fictionalize it. Like, a lot of my characters are people who actually died. It's their nicknames that actually got murdered. You know what I mean? Black-on-black violence. Like, that's why I talk about it so much in my book, because it's the culture that I come from. I understand it. I don't agree with it, and I don't want to go back to it, but I understand it completely. And I just, you know, I throw in a piece of love because, you know, it's love and it's love everywhere. You know what I mean? That's all what everybody want in the story anyway, the little love story. So I throw in, you know, with all my books, I always throw in just, you know, a nice little love interest. Like Portia said, you know, the thug love. You know, that's what everybody want. I just throw that out there. And, you know, they love that, though, in both ways available right now, though. You feel me? Straight up.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think I hear the boss lady coming in.
At this point right here, do you feel like your career is has room to grow, or are you feeling like you stable, you good where you at? I mean, only as a writer. I'm not talking. It's nothing to do with anything to do with any type of sales or anything like that. I mean, just you as a writer. Do you feel like you're comfortable where you're at right now, or do you feel like you need to grow?
I feel like I always need to grow. There's never like a time where growth isn't good. You know, like you always get better. The more you write, like my first writing, the first book I wrote, I haven't even published it yet. It's like almost 500 pages. It's called It's Not a Game. And I wrote that, and I don't even really like it, but then, you know, the Sweet Licks came right after that, and it's like, people like Sweet Licks, I really could put it out, I just don't want to put it out because I don't feel like it's my best, because I wrote that, and then I wrote another book, like even that Cocaine Print, I wrote that like a couple years ago, and then, you know, I bounce back and forth putting out whatever I want to put out, but it's just like I look at my old books and my newer books, and I feel like I'm way better. And I know that in my future books, I'll be way better compared to how I am now. So, as always, I don't think you can ever stop growing.
Well, can I say one thing? Because as a reader,
I say one thing? Since I'm here,
oh.
So can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Can I just jump in and
all
say
right,
one
boss.
Thing? All right. How y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Welcome, 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 Portia. Welcome, Rio. Thank you for coming into the clubhouse. I'm so sorry I wasn't here to have a welcoming committee. I left the best in place to make sure y'all was situated. I'm out here on scene at the book signing. Roxy Reynolds is live in Philly, Black and Nobel. We got Tyson. He all the way came back so he can make sure we were straight, loving the love, loving the vibe. Philly is definitely showing some love. I just wanted to come on here and congratulate, you know, the two authors for their work, for their contribution to literature, and encourage you to keep putting out the best that your pen can put out. You know, and I just thank you for, you know, accepting our invitation to come into the clubhouse.
Absolutely.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah, but I'm going to let Aaron and Alicia. All right. Y'all hear Black and Nobel.
Clubhouse. Thank you for logging in. Thank you for being a part of the signing. Black and Nobel, love you forever.
All right.
Okay, that's what's right.
What's
good, Hockey?
What's going on?
That's right. That's the one and only Tyson. Y'all, we loving it. He loving
Black
y'all.
Black and Nobel,
so make sure
Is a real spot. King, real people. They showed me mad love when I was out there. I mean, mad love. Like,
yes.
I felt real comfortable. It was all love, man.
Yes. Y'all, so we out here right now. I'm attending to Miss Roxy. Y'all know I got my agent hat on today. You never know which fedora the boss lady going to have on. Today she got on her agent hat. So I'm going to go out here and keep taking care of Miss Roxy Reynolds. I appreciate the love. Thank you, callers and listeners, for calling in. I love y'all. I'm going to let them finish taking over the show. Rio and Portia, we love y'all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're
welcome.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey, I love you. Hey, say that.
I heard you. They told me you came on here trapping, and I ain't even hear it.
Hey, you know I come through thugging everywhere I go. You know what I mean? That's how I rock it, bro. Hey, I love your pussy, so I love that. The pussy trap, like, I've been on there. I've been seeing y'all do your thing. You ain't care. I see y'all doing your thing. Salute on that, though.
Thank you so much. We're going to try to keep leaving our heart on the page. And Aaron, just make sure when it's time for the music that Leisha say, drop that beat.
I like that.
All right, y'all have a good one. I'll catch up with y'all the next time.
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay,
all right. Love y'all.
Love you guys, too. Oh, wow. We love the boss lady. Super excited.
Hey,
go ahead,
I'm the real. Hey, much love. I ain't never even met her before that first time I ever heard from her, but I was 100, though. I salute the hustle, though. I see her out there. Yeah, but yeah, that bullet face, though, you know, just dropped that, and bullet face 2 coming for it. My boy tried to drop that at the end of July, you know, at the end of this month, I don't know, and try my best. So, shout out to you too, Portia. Starting on the cover of your book, you know.
Thank
you. Well, on your time as a writer. And shout
thank
out to the whole Sullivan production team, though. Leo Sullivan, shout out Leo Sullivan, the whole Sullivan production team, though. Shout out Nico Michelle, Taruka Perry, Shelly Marie, Yummy Coco J. You feel me? And check out all my books, though. You know what I mean? I got a bunch of books out. Just look up Rio, for real. Listen, I try my best. I get up there with the top. I try to get up there with the Titans one day. I'm working my way up there.
Absolutely. But I was going to say, Rio,
you said you got that book.
Right, you said you got that book, and you feel that you write much better now. I think that you should probably just read over the book. And you can put your pen on it, put a little seasoning on it here and there, and I believe that you should put that book out. You know, even though you wrote it so long ago and your pen is so much better, you can improve what you've already written, you know, because you haven't put it out yet. But I'm quite sure that your readers would love to, you know, see anything
that
your pen has produced.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a bunch because I didn't write a bunch of stories. See, I was writing at 08, and that was, like, almost 24-7, writing every day. Like, wasn't no club, like, wasn't no, you know what I mean? Like, none of that. I was jammed up, locked up. So I was writing all day, and I was 24-7 locked down, you know, because I had to beat up the police. And, you know, so they had me all the way locked down. But, you know, I started writing heavy back then. I still got a lot of writings that I haven't put out. Like I said, the Cocaine Prince, that was the old writing. And everybody say it reminded them of Blake from my other series, from like the Cocaine Prince that series, the Bullet Face series, but I really don't see, I mean, I see it. It's a lot of references, but I didn't think of it when I published it because I hadn't even read it again since I wrote it. And I looked in it, I was like, damn, this dude is kind of, you know, I don't know, I guess it's because I want to be rich, because I want to be a rich kind of guy like this. I hope to get there one day, you know what I mean? Straight up.
Well, that kind of brings us to our topic, because our topic is the allure of the game, glamour in a cracked mirror. And I want to ask Portia, because she wears the hat of the publisher and the author at the same time. Is it kind of a false sense of reality when people become first-time authors and they get in the game? Do they kind of come in with a false sense of reality when it comes to writing their book?
Yes.
And the reason I can say this is because I'm, like, I haven't been writing forever. Like, I just kind of went over, you know, my story with you guys. And so I can kind of pull from my experience when I first was entering the publishing world. And then also on the other side, now that I'm publishing books, I can, you know, I have the experiences that I have with dealing directly with other first-time authors. And it's definitely a learning process. Like, I, you know, a lot of our authors that we have signed, it's their first time actually being published. So I've been able to have that opportunity to actually, you know, walk them through, kind of be like a mentor to kind of walk them through how it is in the industry and how, you know, how to get your name out there, what my responsibility is as the publisher and what their responsibility is as the author. And it's an amazing experience, but it is definitely tough on both ends.
Absolutely. I'm a brand new. I just started publishing, and I don't really like it. I'd really rather do my own thing, like just write my own books. But I feel like, you know, that's where you really, you know, that's really the best thing to do in the publishing industry is to sign other authors and write at the same time. That's just my opinion because, you know, it'll be a lot more, you know, financially wise. You know,
absolutely. Now, Ms. Tony, you had a question for Rio?
Yes, I did. Hi, Rio. This is Tony. I'm honored to have you in the clubhouse tonight.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a big fan of your books, and I really enjoyed The Cocaine Princess. And I just wanted to know, where did the concept of that storyline come, and how is it still so popular after so many book in that series?
I think it came from because I like Nicki Minaj. You know, I love her, the little rap girl, Young Money.
Uh-huh.
And I saw how popular she was, so I wanted to create a character that resembled her. And then at the same time, like the Blake character, he really based on Blake Kelly, who was shot and killed in Michigan City, Indiana in 2004, I believe, right before I got out. Early 2004, something like that. And then the T-Walk character, that's actually one of my friends, too. One of the first people I met in Indiana. He was also shot and killed. And then Reese Cup, you know, he was also shot and killed from Chicago. That's one of my guys. He, like, was raising me. And I was just like, I just want to bring them back to life. But, like, all I ever lived was the drug game, the dope game. And all my guys, they're in the dope game. And all of them in the fed joint or fresh out the fed joint or locked up for a shooting or a dope case and, or dead from the dope game. So I'm like, it was so much, you know, deeply embedded in me. I was just like, well, I'm going to just create this own, my own world of it, you know what I mean? But and I can put whatever I want to put. I just fictionalize everything and just, you know, that's how it came about. Plus, I read a lot of other books, too. So all those other things that came into play, like the terrorism and, you know, and look like the Wall Street, you know, bankers and all that, they were dealing with whatever and what was talking about, thinking about in the companies, the reality shows, the sea stuff on TV, and I just put it in my books. And I don't know. It's really hard to explain how I come up with the concept, but I'm glad you enjoyed the Cocaine Princess series. And a lot more Bulletface coming soon. Bulletface out now. Bulletface should be out, I'm hoping, at the end of this month. And you know, I'm working on it now. But if not, then that's definitely at the beginning of August.
Okay. That's what I also enjoyed Sweet Licks also, so that was another series that I enjoyed.
Yes, Sweet Licks, that's my neighborhood. That's where I'm from. Like, when I was a little kid, I was like 3, 4, 5 years old. I'm really looking for the footage. I was on the news when I was up there. When I was like 5, I was on my bike. I found the body. Nick got shot in a vacant parking lot next to my house. But, yeah, Chicago, that Holy City area, 15th to Trumbull, those were the guys who really raised me, you know, and that's why I always put the, you know, the gangs in there because that's the culture I was in and the, you know, the drug dealing, that was everything. And I always been there. Every time, even when I get locked up and get out, I'm right back there. Or even if I'm out here in Indiana, I'm right there every weekend or every night or every summer, you know what I mean? So those books are really important to me. You know, I hold that close to the end. Also, Gangsta Son is based in the same neighborhood, you know.
I also read that one. That was another good series.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're
welcome. Appreciate your opinion. I hope I can bless you with a lot more great reason.
But you keep writing them, and I'll keep purchasing them. But I have a question for Portia. question. This is Tony again. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Okay. Based on what Leisha was asking before, your hat as a publisher and as an author, do you find that that second book is harder than the first to publish or to write as an author, as a new author?
I do. Actually, when I wrote Three Queens One, the first one, and it's probably because I hadn't been writing for so long before I started that one, but it was so easy for me to write. Like, the book is over 300 pages, and I just, like, I wrote it in no time at all, no issues at all. And the same thing when I wrote Ride or Die Bitch, and even though that was, I wrote that right after I wrote Three Queens, like, it was easy for me to write. But the second part to both of those series took me, it felt like it took me forever. And, like, I went back and forth. I mean, I had so many chapters I wrote, and then I was like, no, I'm deleting all this. I'm starting over. I restarted Ride or Die, like, three times. it was crazy to me. I think because I was so critical of myself based off of how well the first ones did, I think based off of that, like, I just was super critical of myself. And I mean, I think that's a good thing, because when I finally did release them, they did the reviews on them. Did really well, so I'm thinking that, you know, it was a good thing that I went through it like a million times and took things out and redid a lot of chapters. But it really was hard for me to write the follow ups to those books. Okay. And I'm trying to write a third one now, so pray for me, please, because I'm trying to write Three Kings, and I'm trying to write Ride or Die Bitch 3, so it's taking me there again.
Now, I have a question, actually, for all three of you, because Portia and Rio and Aaron, you guys are authors and publishers. You guys wear that same hat. And I know that Mimi always says it's really hard for an author to read somebody else's work when they're writing. How do you guys balance that? Because you are all penning books, you know, on your own for your individual publishing company, you know, publishers that you work for, plus you are reading submissions and, you know, mentoring other authors on how they should pull their books together. How do you guys balance that? And this is a question for all three of you, because you guys are all doing this kind of same thing.
Well, I think it's just best to work most of the time, and then when you deliver that message to your authors, whatever, just make sure it's a something that's deep, so they can understand the meaning, you know, and the importance behind writing, and you know that it's, you know, important to write all the time. That's really the only lesson to really teach them or tell them, is just write. Make sure you get some writing in, you know, every day. Get that word count in, and the submissions. You know, I usually read, like, you know, the first 5-10 chapters. If I like it, then, you know, I accept it. But if I don't like it, then I can pretty much tell if the readers don't like it. If I won't like it, then I won't publish it.
Absolutely. Okay. What about you, B?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little bit different, man. I think, honestly, just from reading somebody else's work, or like if I take a submission or something, like, that's a whole different hat for me. Like immediately, like, I'm firm in my roles. Like, I know me, the writer. As the writer, my style is signature. Like, it ain't never gonna be nobody else who you read their book and it's gonna sound like me. Like, it's always gonna be Aaron Bebo. So whenever I read somebody else's work, I'm not gonna be confused with, like, you know, it's just gonna bother my scribe when I get ready to pen, because I already know what I'm about. I'm always writing signatures. So when I'm reading somebody else's work, really, that's what I'm looking for while I'm reading their work. I'm looking for their signature. Like, who is this? As a writer, like, I'm reading the story, I'm seeing how it's going, but I'm looking for the author's voice. Do they have a voice? Are they just, so I'm looking for different things while I'm reading in a submission process, as opposed to when I'm creating for myself, because I'm a natural at that, for writing for myself. You know, so, you know, I'm very comfortable with what I do, how I deliver it, my language, you know, my word usage. Like, I already know what I'm gonna do. Not meaning I already got the story already written, but just knowing that the elements I'm gonna use to create the story is gonna be all mine, and they're gonna be
presented in a way that reflects just me and not no other writer. So it's easy for me to read somebody else's work and determine, you know, who they are or if I even want to deal with them or not.
Absolutely. What about you, Portia?
Okay, so how I've been able to really create balance is that I have to make balance. We have submissions always coming in. The good thing is that I have a partner. So Naya Moore is my partner with Royalty Publishing House. We both like to read the submissions because we both like to figure out, you know, if this is a person that we'd like to bring in. And it does get kind of hard to balance that with writing and also reading. But how I've had to do it is just etch away time. Like, when I publish a book, I take a little break. I try to catch up on my reading. I try to do my publishing stuff every day. It's tough, but it's worked out so far. Just keep me in your thoughts.
Right. I'm new in the game. So I really don't have an opinion, a big opinion on that. I'm still new. I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a hand up. Do you guys mind taking the call?
I don't mind.
Okay, let's bring in that 803-290.
803-290. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew. And Rios and Portia Sterling, good evening. Who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Yes, hey. You're live. That's really you.
How are you?
803. Yes.
How are you?
Lisa, Tony. Hi.
Hey. Hi. How are you?
Hello. Who are we speaking Rio. With?
Okay. You got a question for Rio. Hey, how you doing? I was waiting on you to speak.
Hey,
I was waiting to play a little bit.
Is Jenny dead yet?
Okay.
What's your name and where
are
you calling from?
Who is that? Oh, okay. So, I said you get from. Hey, how you doing, Shy?
Is Jenny dead yet?
I believe she's asking, is Jenny dead yet?
Yeah, is Jenny dead yet? she ain't dead yet right now. She wreaking havoc right now, but. I'm not sure what happened by the end of the book. I'm still writing it. But right now, yeah, she's on some, you know, where she usually does, killing a bunch of motherfuckers, fuck the shit up. But I'll let you know. You know, I don't know. I'll probably give you a little clue. I know you're one of my big readers, so I'll probably give you a little hint or something before it drops. I don't know. And I got some books. I got some books on the way to you. My people supposed to be sending you some books. Probably be mailed out tomorrow. The signed copies of Bullet Face and the Cocaine Print should be mailed out to you tomorrow.
Portia.
Hi.
Portia, honey.
Hi.
Hello. This is Shy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
That's
you know,
okay.
I didn't rejoice yet, but I had
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm just calling in to show support, you guys. That's all.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
We love you to death. Make sure you tell everybody in the world about our book. You know what I mean? But if they drop in, of course, what's your next book you about to drop?
My next one will be Ride or Die Bitch 3, Empire
Ride or Die
Mine.
Bitch 3. Yeah, all right. Man, we trying to get that out there to everybody, so be sure to tell everyone in the world and, you know, support Black Author.
Well, we thank you for calling in.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much. Nice to hear you.
Now, you know that's something when you get somebody and they hear you on the radio and it's like, it's such dead yet. They into the book. They wrapped up in it and he done put them on hold and they like, how he gonna even do this to me like this? I need to know what's going on and I need to know right now.
Hey, you know, that's the best thing about being a writer is like having the fans who be like, you know, like, man, this is the best series I've ever read. You're one of my favorite authors, or even the ones who, you know, criticize you a little bit, or even the ones who I've got a bunch of one-star reviews, but I done got one-star reviews where people just outright hating, damn garbage. Like, when I first came out, but most of my reviews were 5 stars, but you know, it's really great when you get a, you know, not, I ain't gonna say praise, but you know, just acknowledgement from the readers.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Now, it's a question for all three because you guys are all authors, and he brought up the reviews. How do you guys feel when you guys get those reviews and you get, it's a 1 star or a 2 star, but when you read the review, it's like, I don't understand why they got 1 or 2 stars. You know, how do you feel when they kind of, a reader puts their frustration of maybe how a book ended or how it killed somebody off? How do you guys deal with that? We'll start with Portia.
Thank you, because I was going to say, can I go first on this?
You sure can.
But to me, I look at it two different ways. Like, if it's a 1 or a 2 star and they're telling me something constructive, like, I really wish you would have went more into that character, like developed that character a little more or something about the plot or something like that, then I'm like, okay, that's something I can learn from. But I got a 1 star one time, and the person said the reason that she gave me a 1 star was because she felt like I was going to take forever to release the next book.
Wow.
So, right, and this was off of Three Queens 2, I think. I think it was Three Queens 2. Which Three Queens 1 came out in January. The second one came out in March, so 2 months later. So I was like, how quickly can I release these books? You know what I mean? If I'm getting a 1 star and I release the second one 2 months later. So, you know, I look at my, like, if I have a bad review and it's something I can learn from, it doesn't really affect me negatively. Of course, I'm like, oh, man, like, I wish I had all 5 stars, but if it's something I can learn from, okay, but I've seen 1 star reviews, you know, where you could tell the person really did love the book, but they still gave it 1 star just because, you know, it might have ended with a cliffhanger or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, they did mm-hmm. me like that. I had somebody give me a 1 star review because they said, I don't like the way, I love the series, but I don't like how you left me hanging in the end. This can't be the end. So I'm giving you a 1 star, and I was like, and we'll say it was the end. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know. You just gotta have a, you know, stone skin when it comes to the reviews, because the reviews are, you know, they are opinions, and everybody has opinions, and sometimes people have crazy opinions. So a lot of people in the world have crazy opinions, so you can't knock somebody who gives you their opinion, and it really doesn't make sense. You just, you know, I don't say nothing. I used to have a reader who used to cut them out when I first started writing. She used to get on there and cuss them out like, nigga, you must not have been reading the same goddamn book I read, nigga. You got me here, man. And I was like, man, I had to tell them, I'm like, look, chill out, man. Let them have their opinion. You're going to be the lost my reviewers. You know what I mean? Just chill. Let them talk, whatever. I got people who said they didn't like the first one, and then they liked the second one. I got people who said they didn't like, who liked the first one and didn't like the second one, but loved the third and the fourth and the fifth. So, you know, it's just opinions. So you can't take it seriously.
Absolutely.
Wow.
What about you, B?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinions. Like, you can't take those things personal. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people may say something that, you know, is correct. Like, you can't be thinking all the time that people are hating or, you know, like, if you got 105-star reviews and then somebody come and give you a 2-star and they really, you know, like, for me, when I mean a real review, like, for me, I just looking at it in the sense of a review, like, you know, probably 250 words minimum. If somebody, because you just read a book, like, thousands of words, so if you can't write 250 words on this book, if you don't like it, if you're about to give it a 2-star, like, you need to really have something to tell me about it.
Exactly.
Where it started losing you, where the character development went wrong, where the plot twisted up. They're like, really, just give me a real review, and if it's 2-star, like, I'll take it. But I'm going to take it either way it go. Like, I'll post 2-star reviews. Somebody give me a 2-star review, you'll see me come right on Facebook like this just in. Like, I mean, is it stiff? Nah, for real, everybody, I saw it's the same love. Like, they showed me love by even, you know, going over there. There's people that may have read my book and feel it was a 5-star and never even bothered to go back to Amazon and leave a review.
You feel me? So,
mm-hmm. you know. But can that's I say, funny because, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say that as a reader, you know, sometimes whether you buy a book is based on reviews. You know, and sometimes you, I know you have to take the reviews with a grain of salt, but sometimes all of that, you know, contributes to whether you're going to pick up this book. I don't let it be the main reason. You know, you have to weed out the ones that are a little bit out there, but sometimes it can it makes a difference on whether you purchase a book. So reviews are important to me, and I always, and I read reviews, and I try to leave honest reviews, you know, with constructive, if there is any criticism, which I haven't had any books that I had to criticize because I've enjoyed everything I read, but sometimes those reviews are important to other readers also.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But,
as a reader, go ahead, B.
No, guys, because this is a reader's perspective,
say,
so definitely you need
right,
to.
As a reader, a lot of times, like in the beginning, I never would buy a book. If I would sample it and I didn't like it, I would never leave a bad review. So I wouldn't get the book if I read it, the first chapter, you know, during that sample that Amazon gives you. I wouldn't buy it. Or if I read a book and I didn't sample it, and I read it, maybe somebody recommended it or something. Even if I didn't like it, I still wouldn't write a bad review. And I remember Cash saying, you know, you got to tell the author what it is that you, like Aaron was saying, where you went wrong in the book. Because a lot of times with the reviews, if it's an author, to me the cover, the content, and the title all work together. So if I might like the cover, I might like the title, and so I'm like, okay, I want to check out this author. I may not have ever read anything by the author. I may not have, you know, nobody I know may have read anything. So then, like Tony said, I'm going to look at the reviews, but I do look at the one-star reviews first because, I don't know, it's just something that, you know that the first maybe 20 reviews may just be fans. So no matter what that person put out, they gave the 5-star because they just love that person. Can't. I do start with the one review first. And that's why I'm like, if I read it, I'm like, okay, but you gave this person a 1, but you said the book was good. You know, and those are kind of the ones that I look at, and I that help me determine whether I'm going to buy a book or not. Because if you gave them a 1-star or a 2-star, and you said the book was good, but you were upset because of the way it ended or how if somebody got killed off, and that tells me that's the book I want to read because I want to feel like you. I'm not going to leave them a 1-star review because I didn't like the way it ended, but that tells me that you grabbing all of your readers and they don't have anything bad to say as far as grammatical errors or, you know, not developing the characters. They upset, you know, about something going on with their favorite character. That tells me that, yes, I'm going to buy this book. So I do look at the reviews as a reader, and I do start at the bottom. So I want to see what's the 1-star reviews. I look at those, you know, if they're basically saying, I love this author, I love this book, but I'm upset about something, then I know that I'm going to buy the book because it's going to be enjoyable either way.
I just, you know, with the review thing, like I said, I'll post a 2-star, 1-star, whatever they leave, because it's really their opinion or whatever. Like, now if we was submitting these books to like Kirkus Review, a totally legitimate reviewer that's gonna really, you know, people are gonna read this in the publishing world, like publishing people and this, that, and the third, and this is what they do, and. Like one time, I seen an author. Author had actually submitted their book over there, and Kirkus left a review. and
wow.
When they left it, no, because that's what they do. Like, you know, that's what they do. They're professional book reviewers. They're known all over the world. And when they left the review, right? I read the review, and I was like, y'all, they right. But some of the author's fans from Facebook or whatever or wherever, you know, I was seeing them leaving comments like, yo, you don't know what you're talking about and yada, yada, yada. And I'm looking, I'm like, yo, you know, these people really don't even know who they're even responding to at this point.
Man, I don't care. I ain't gonna lie. It's been a couple times where I'll be like, man, I wish a nigga tried to give me that review on my face. You know what I mean? I'd be mad sometimes, but I ain't, you know what I mean? I know you can't take it personally. You know what I mean? That's the one thing about me, because I ain't used to letting people even say nothing negative to me. So I'm like, damn, like, but this is different. You know, this industry, this is the publishing industry. So it's like, I don't know, it's hard for me to be professional. I'm trying my best, though, but it's just, I ain't never been into that. I ain't even had a job or none of that. Like, all I ever did in my life to make money was sell dope until I started writing, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's way different for me. But, you know, like I say, with a grain of salt, I don't care about no reviews. I mean, I hope they leave reviews, leave honest opinions when they do leave the reviews. If they don't, if they hate, whatever, they let them leave that review. You know what I mean? I just hope nobody hate on me, because I ain't hating on nobody else. But if they do leave a review, leave an honest review. If you want to, you know, if you don't like it, then, you know, I wish you well on your reading, Judge.
Yeah, the reviews are just reviews. I hate that. Both of y'all readers said that. That's what y'all base y'all purchases on. But at the same time, like, still, like, it's the same thing. Like, you can't stop anyone from leaving reviews. There's people that can go over there and leave a review who haven't even read the book. You know what I mean? So, like, that right there, like, I can't place any real validity on nothing like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
So, That's just my opinion, though. That's just me. I'm not speaking for the industry, or, you know, I'm speaking for me. That's how I look at it.
Well, it's funny that you said that, though, because last night, shout out to Keisha Steele. She won a spot on Felicia Bradshaw's, one of her show, as a guest reader host, and she got to interview any author she wanted. So she got to interview Zane. And I remember Zane saying that she hasn't read a review in like 10 years. She don't even read her reviews. And so, you know, it's like you have some authors that don't. They don't even read not one, you know. And so it is very interesting how, you know, when they leave that one review, one-star review, you don't really know if the author is even looking at that review or not. So
I think
when
that
you,
comes with when they, you know, when you become so a certain amount of success as an author, and you got a certain amount of readers buying your books, you don't care anyway, because it's like, well, I still sell a lot of books, so what I need to read them for? When you thinking about it a lot, and then especially like for me as a new author, you think about it more. You know what I mean, the newer you are anyway, and then, you know, they've been in the game for years, so of course they ain't gonna look at it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you just gotta roll with that. Like, it ain't about. I mean, the things that be really mattering is it's definitely not those reviews. You know?
No, definitely.
Like, my thing is have a good solid product, man. That's what I always try to tell authors that ask me about anything as far as, you know, putting out a book or anything, just have a good, solid product, because there's no expiration date on a book. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you got to make sure that you got that work out there. Like, you might not be hot at all for the next 4 or 5 months, but if you know you put something solid out there, when everybody else cool down, you're going to still be going. Your work will be going for years to come. So you just got to be putting your best foot forward.
Absolutely. Now with these book beefs, you know, and things that are happening on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or wherever they're happening, as a publisher.
Can I hurry up? Hey, I want to speak on this first, but go ahead. Okay.
As publishers, what is the importance of branding? And how do you guys explain and discuss certain things with your authors to let them know or to encourage them on how to keep the integrity of their brand intact when different things come about? You can start, Rio.
I just, like, you know, I almost fell into that. Well, I did fall into that, but it wasn't even like I've never had a problem with anybody so far, you know, except like where it's just, you know, like it was another author, publisher, you know, disrespecting my publisher. And I spoke on it. I was like, man, you know what I mean? Like, well, I don't know. I got real gangster about it, but that's how I get about situations. And then I had to fall back and think about it, like, wait a minute, man, these dudes, like, they out there, you know what I mean? They want to touch each other, whatever. They can go do it, but it's foolish for us to even, you know, why would you fight or argue or talk down on the next man when you're supposed to be building your brand? It's all about building your brand, selling your book. Like, if you, and, you know, you bring the negativity into the industry, and then you can't complain about it when somebody hating on you because you're bringing the negativity. Don't hate on nobody. It's simple as that. Like, I don't talk bad about nobody. I don't care about what nobody else is doing. I just wish everyone well, and, you know, they do their thing. But I've seen it. A lot of negativity, a lot of gossip, and, you know what I mean? That's why I don't talk to nobody no more in the industry. I don't talk to nobody. I cut everybody off. I know, period. I don't call nobody but my people and my girl, and ain't none of them in the industry. You know what I mean? Because it's so, I didn't realize the negativity when I got in it, but then it, you know, once I saw it, I just drew back from it.
I can understand now. What about you, Portia?
I'm fairly new in the industry, so I'm still learning. A lot of what I'm seeing, I really wasn't expecting it. A lot of the negativity that's around, I've always been a person that I'm like, you know, I support everybody, I want us all to make it. I expect everybody to support each other. Like, so when I see a lot of the tearing down that's happening, it's really a surprise to me. But mainly I just try to stay out of stuff. Like, I try to focus on, I got a lot of stuff I'm doing, like, you know, professionally and personally. I have a lot going on. I really don't have time to focus on a lot of the negative stuff that's happening. I try to stay out of it. A lot of times I'm pulled into it. And I'm the type of person, I really don't have a filter sometimes, so I say what I got to say, and then I'm out. And I'm on to the next thing. And that's pretty much how I've been handling it. I tell my office the same thing. I tell them, like, you know, it's they're going to see it's a lot of stuff that's going on. It's a lot of people trying to tear each other down. Stay out of it. Focus on your business. Mind your own business. And just that's how you stay out of it. That's how you leave all the drama behind you.
Absolutely. That's what I said. Mind my damn business. But shut up. I ain't going to dodge nothing because I ain't with that. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't grow up to argue. Like, I never even argued. I have never argued with another man, like, face to face, because it's always more than an argument. And I always take it there. I always took it there. So it's like, without this, you know, I don't do no internet. But even if I was to say something tough or, you know what I mean, whatever, I wouldn't be a Facebook thug because I was on that. You know what I mean? I live like that for real, but I ain't on, even me, I'm not on there, man. I want everybody to live and get money and eat, and I wish everybody well, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so combative. So that's just the black community. It's because the urban community is mostly, you know, it's all black people. And the black community, that's just, you know, that negativity comes with it in the United States. You know, everywhere. It's just a part of the game, man. It's like Atlanta Housewives or something, you know what I mean? These niggas want to argue and talk all the time. And I ain't on that gossiping and all that. That's why I don't talk to nobody. I mind my business, and I just hope everybody like my book. That's all I'm here for, is to give books. That's what I'm on earth for, is to write books, I figure. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to just, you know, mind my business, stay away from everybody else's business.
I do want to say that it's really, to me, like, it's really unfortunate, though, because I see, like, a lot of people that may want to collab with other authors, they're afraid to do that for that reason, you know what I mean? A lot of people want to join up with other authors, support other authors, but because of that whole negativity in the background, it seems like it's hard to do that sometimes.
Exactly. They won't, because so, it's like if they with another publisher or something, and that publisher influence with this publisher,
right,
and they or this author influence with this author, but they on the same team over here, they under the same company, it's like, okay, well, I ain't fucking with you. I mean, I'm sorry for cursing. But, you know, I ain't messing with you. I ain't, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if I'm supposed to curse on the radio or what, you know what I mean? I don't be wanting to, you know what I mean, be rude. But, yeah, definitely, yo. You know, you got to be respectful, be professional, and just show love. And if others don't show love to you, you know, then so what?
Definitely agree with that. But how do you guys get your, just like Rio was saying, there are some authors on the same team, you know, that really don't see eye to eye. So how do you guys kind of talk to your team and keep them and basically build them as one to help them, you know, maybe resolve when they have issues or to teach them how to stay solidified as one? How do you guys talk to them as far as the team building portion? So let's start with Portia.
I know for my office, I guess I've just been blessed to have a really good group. And I think it's because we've signed people not based off just their writing, but based off of how well they'll mesh with everybody else. And it's like, especially like, you know, that first day when we sign somebody, we have a group with all the authors. They ask them all these kind of, all these questions. I mean, they get all into their business. So from day one, we've been able to develop that like cohesive unit. And, I think that helps a lot because if there are any issues, it's always in the forefront. Like if one author inboxes another author and they have an issue, we bring it up. We all talk about it. Everything's always out in the open, so we've established trust. And I think that's maybe something that's different with how our publishing company has been able to handle things, that we really haven't had any issues with drama. Knock on wood, I'm hoping that never happens. But
I think it's
that's how we've been able to handle it.
I think it's different with the hate that women in the industry get and the hate that men in the industry get, because it's like, you know, with the women, it's more like, you know, they're not trying to fight you or nothing. They're not talking about, you know, like, it's different with men. It's like, it's way more serious, and it's way more, and they take it way more serious. Like, I take everything serious coming from a man because I hurt him. I won't hurt a woman or a child or, you know, I mean, nothing like that. But the men, I'm not playing with nobody. Like, you get to, they talk so negatively, and I heard so many wrong things that don't go, and I don't, you know, I would never allow people to say that to me in my face, and I hate when anything happens, you know, when it's just disrespect from a long distance, and like, I don't know, but I mean, I don't even feel comfortable talking in this situation, because I'm like, I'm a gangster type nigga, I ain't that, you know what I mean, I ain't that kind of motherfucker, I'm just trying to do my business, and you know what I mean, write my books, and all that negativity, I don't condone it, I don't put it out there in the world, whatever, but when people bring it to me, I'm more than willing to deal with it, and I'm ready to deal with it, you know what I mean, the first time, whenever we get a chance to deal with it. And however they want to deal with it, if they want to talk it out or whatever they want to do about it, you know what I mean, we can do that. Or if it's that serious, they can go, you know what I mean, my people out there, you feel me? But I ain't on that, though. I mean, I wish everybody the best, because at the end of the day, if somebody hurt, if one of the officers get hurt, like, you know what I mean, in a car accident or anything, you know, I'm like, damn, man, that's a good author, man, you know what I mean? If a lot of people enjoy that author's reading it, and I would feel bogus for me to be hating them right before that. You know what I mean? So I ain't going to hate nobody. I love you. I want you to do well. I want to see you take care of your kids, take care of your family, or whatever success you may get in the industry. I wish you well. And I just pray that everyone wishes me the same. But even if they don't, it don't matter. You know, it's 7 billion people on Earth. Whoever don't like you, there's going to be 10 more people who do like you. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. What about you, B? By you getting into, you know, the publishing world, you know, and sometimes you might sign authors that, you know, they may not see eye to eye. How would you address that or let them know so that you're building your team to be solidified?
Honestly, in this day and age, like, the authors I got, nobody don't know them. Like, I don't really introduce them to none of that Facebook stuff or none of that stuff, like, none of that side of it yet, because, you know, the books ain't out. When the books come out, then people will know. I'm like, right now, to bring them out and be bringing them around this, it'll taint them. You know what I mean? Facebook done, mm-hmm. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, Facebook, social media has tainted the game. You know what I mean? So, like, you got to be careful, man. You got to be careful with everything you do now. You can't, you know, you can't really be just, it's like you can't even be associating with certain people. Like they were saying earlier, like if somebody else ain't messing with this person, like other people would be like, I ain't messing with them either. Like that's how weak the mentality around urban fiction has got. So, like I just be having, I be having to have the hidden hand with my peoples. Like I don't be bringing them around it. That's how I've been able to be good so far. But when these books come out, I don't know what's gonna happen. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they're gonna be out in the open then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
mm-hmm.
I try to tell them, you know, they see what's going on. One thing I always do is just tell the truth. Like I just do.
Absolutely.
You just gotta have the facts.
I hate that. Like Like, I done had, like, where people done asked me to lie, like, off smile shit, like, it don't even mean nothing. And I'm like, dude, I'm not about to lie to nobody, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not about to lie to nobody. I'm sorry. I ain't got nothing to lie about. I'm just not the kind of dude that go around lying to people. I haven't lied.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the last time I lied. I was a little kid last time I lied. I can't do that, and I hate that.
Bro.
It's just, you know, the social networking, though, it's just, you're right. It tainted everything, every energy.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. This is what I know. This is fact. This been going on, but this just happened a little while ago, like for a lot of people just to see at one time. But like social media, the people are doing things like taking inboxes or whatever they taking and doing, and they adding their own words to it. They copying it. Adding their own words to it and then pasting it in somebody else's inbox. Like, yo, look what so-and-so said. And people is running with it. And people is running with it. You know why? Because they never come into the person. Like, they'll be like, yo, I'm telling you this, but don't say nothing. That's what this industry has turned into. A bunch of, I'm going to tell you this, but don't say nothing. Nobody will never be saying nothing to nobody, yo. It'd be a big secret in the background, whatever's going on. But nobody ain't supposed to say nothing about it. It's something that's so dark and so negative and so messed up. But everybody got to sweep it under the rug and hide it. We can't say nothing. We're not going to say nothing. And it's that. And that's what really just happened to the industry. Nobody don't be talking no more. Like, because a lot of the times with these issues that people was calling beef and stuff, if somebody was to just be like, yo,
Did you do this?
They'll tell everybody except the person. They'll tell everybody will know except the person. Everybody else. It'll be like, yo, everybody hold your fingers to your lips. Here come this person. You know what I mean? Like, for real. So, like, a lot of times it just be needed to be a conversation just between the two people or the three people, whoever it is, it's supposed to be involved. But what happens is people be so fearful to just be, and then another thing, people be fearful to be honest with their peoples. Like, I don't care how long I knew you, how cool I thought you was or I think you are. If you're wrong and you come and ask me, that's one thing you better not do, yo. Because if you're wrong and you come and ask me, I'm going to tell you, yo, plain. I'm going to tell you plain.
That's why I say, like, man, I stay away from that. Because, I mean, like man, me, like, my guys, we don't do that kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather... Like, with the men, like, any man got some, you know, disrespectful to say to me, I ain't going to lie, man. I know a lot of people won't like to hear me say it, but I'm shooting them niggas as soon as I see them, man. I ain't playing that, man. Like, I'm sorry, that's what we do, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want that to happen, but I'm going to earn them. Man, come on, man, it's gunshots on sight. I'm hanging out the window, worry about this, man. And I know that's messed up. I know that's cold-blooded. That's the craziest thing you say, but that's real. Ain't nobody finna be threatening me talking all that. Hard talking all this, you know what I mean? Nothing about me. If anybody got anything to say about me, I'm on their head. That's why I be like, you know what I mean? Whatever anybody got something to say to Rio, say that shit out loud, because I'm going to shoot you when I see you, you know what I mean? But I don't have no problem, though, with nobody, though, man. I love everybody.
And then that brings us back to the topic, though, the allure of the game, because it's funny that Bebo mentioned social media, because is it that social media has tainted the game? Or was the game already tainted and social media became the tool that they could use to express whatever it is they want to express?
The whole black community messed up. It ain't nothing solid like it used. It's only a few solid people who solid how they used to be back when our parents was, you know what I mean, younger. You know what I mean, when they was kids, not kids, when they was, you know what I mean, younger, when you was a little kid and all the older people, you know what I mean, everybody catching something. Social networking is a breeding ground for fakeness. You know what I mean? It's a breeding ground for gossip and behind-the-back talk. Like, niggas say that shit. And then even when you do say it, then they say, you Facebook beefing. You know what I mean? But then when you don't say it, you hiding something. Nigga, I ain't got nothing to hide. But if whatever I got to say, I'm going to say it. You know what I mean? Right there on Facebook or in a nigga's face. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry I keep saying nigga. But this situation, this topic got me kind of, you know what I mean? Man, I hate that. That's the worst part of the industry, and I hate it with a passion because it's like, Don't even, you ain't got a right even hating on somebody you don't even know, man. And for people to be talking all that and even to have that gossip, that's why I don't talk to nobody. I keep my, you know what I mean? I mind my business. Because any niggas got something to say to me. When I see them, man, like, they better help me. I ain't going to shoot up no book signs or nothing like that. But let me see them niggas anywhere else, man. I feel for them, man. I feel for them. They better hope. Well, I don't know, but I ain't got no problem with nobody right now. You know what I mean? I wish everybody well. And I know my, you know, it's people who I deal with, they got problems with people. And I don't care about that. I ain't in that either. I ain't in nobody's problem. I got my own problems.
I just want to say that I'm fairly new to Facebook and social media. I'd say it was maybe the last year. So I was always blinded by this, and I just was in my, I guess I could say, my own little world when I would go to the library or go to the store and purchase a book and just enjoy the book and the author without all that other extra. So this social media and the back and forth is still relatively new to me, and it actually takes away from the respect of the word. You know, I don't get involved with this, but you know, like I met Nene, I was reading her book before I was on Facebook. So you just get blinded by, you could be in your own world without social media and still enjoy the word. It just takes away from it, and like people said, it gets tainted. So
it
I
does,
try not
you know,
to be involved.
I just said that I had to get drawn into it. I'm new. I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt.
All right.
No,
okay. But how do you feel, Portia?
I just feel like, man, I'm new in the game, and I hate the negativity, but I'm new. So, you know, I'm learning, and I done already figured out how to just do away with all of it. I just won't, you know what I mean? I stay away. I put out when my book come out, you know what I mean? I put out when my author book come out, whatever. Other than that, I really ain't got to say, if it ain't about the craft, but right now I ain't got nothing to say no more. Like, I fell into it when I first got into the, you know, the publishing industry because I saw it, and it was what the people around me was going through. So I was like, damn, okay, I ain't about to just let this go and not respond to it. You know what I mean? But now it's like, man, I never do that again. And I know I'm learning. You know, I'm young to the game, not young to the, you know what I mean, to the industry though, to the publishing industry. And I got caught up in that because the others around me were caught up in it. But I know now that it's about your writing. If it ain't about writing or publishing, then it shouldn't even be spoken on. And keep your opinion to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about nobody. Books, I don't care about none of that. Like, I just wish them well. And I don't care what they do. I don't care how much money they make. I don't care how much money they didn't make. I don't care who they kick it with or who they gossip with or who they sign to or none of that. Like, if you cool with me, I'm cool with you. And when I see you on the streets, it's love. You know what I mean? If it ain't, then ain't no love. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. How
I don't
you
know,
feel, Portia? Do you think that social media is a tool that's used and that the industry was already tainted and it just allows people to just say whatever it is that was on their minds to say that they wouldn't say generally in front of that person?
I think that it's definitely helped it. I don't know. I think that it's helped it because, I mean, now with social media, it's a lot of stuff happening. Like, a person can get right on Facebook. They can contact an author directly. They can post something and people see it immediately. I mean, if you try to erase it, it's too late. 20 people have screenshotted already. So, I think that it's pretty much helped taint the industry. I don't know about, like, I'm still, like I said earlier, fairly new and everything, but I think the accessibility that social media has given people, how authors are more accessible to each other and to readers, and you can comment directly to other people, and it's immediate. I think that has helped to taint it. On the other side, mm-hmm. It is, you know, helpful also because I've had people contact me and say that they've, you know, decided to buy my books based off of what they've seen me post online. But I mm-hmm. think that on the other side of it, it can be a negative as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a double-edged sword. It just, you know, it has its good points and it has its bad points. But it was great knowing y'all. I got to go. It was great getting to know y'all. Bullet Face is out right now. Bullet Face 2 coming soon. Much love. Hey, Aaron B. Bo. Salute.
Yes, indeed.
You know, Portia, salute. I wish you well with your company. Wish all y'all well. And, you know, much love. Ms. Leisha and Tiffany Capri, I love her to death. You know, hey, everybody, 100. Bullet Face, tell you and me, go get that 100.
Okay, stay blessed, brother.
All right,
Rio.
Coming.
Bye.
Thanks for coming in and kicking with us in the clubhouse.
Okay, well, it's just us, ladies.
That was interesting.
So, Portia, let me ask you, what do you think about craft, the craft of writing? How much attention do you give to craft, or are you more concerned about getting a book out to the readers? Because a lot of people be wanting a book now, quick. So do you find yourself not putting all of your craft into the work, or how do you work that?
It's funny that you asked me that, because this is a really hot point with me. I have this group of readers that I have. It's called Clean Dynasty, and I ask them questions every now and then about this. And I was frustrated a couple of weeks ago because I feel like readers now, they want books fast. Like I said earlier, I put out Three Queens in January, put out the second one in March. And when I put out the second one in March, the day after, people were like, well, where's part three? I'm like, I need time to write it. With writing, because I feel like, you know, as authors, we have a responsibility to research and to develop our craft. Like, I can't just throw a book out there and be like, I expect people to pay whatever, $4.99 and buy it and read it and love it. Like, I have to actually take time to develop that. But I feel like we do have a lot of pressure because people expect, I mean, with books dropping every day, people expect that when they read your first book, your second book's supposed to come out next week, and your third book's supposed to come out the week after that. And so it's something that frustrates me sometimes because I don't like to just try to rush through a book and put it out there. I want it to be something that I'm proud of. I don't want to put a book out there that's like 40 pages and, you know, and expect people to feel like that's like a total book. Like, I want to take time with it, and I want to make sure that it's perfect before I put it out there for somebody to read it. And so it's really a balance. And I think in speaking with my group, a lot of them are like, hey, we're never going to be happy. Like, if you put it out there too soon and, you know, and it's not good, we're going to tell you about that. If you take forever, we're going to tell you about that. So just do what you feel comfortable doing. And that's what I've decided to do.
Yes, indeed. That's the best thing.
Yes, I have to agree. As a reader, I would rather have quality as opposed to quantity. So I am never rushed an author. You know, when it's out, it's out. So I'd rather have my authors take their time and put out their best work than trying to appease the masses or however many and rush something out there. So I'd rather have quality as opposed to quantity.
Yeah, that's something else that's killing the game. That's something else that's killing the game too. Just rushing titles out there. Like, there's no anticipation time, no building time, no time for settlement. Like, the first story hasn't even settled yet. You know what I mean? So all of these elements have been stripped away from the industry slowly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, no disrespect to them, but like, I'll be seeing all types of stuff, y'all. I'm basically, right now at this point, I'll be seeing readers basically telling authors how to write their books. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm dead serious.
But readers, especially ebook readers, and I could say I fall there sometimes, we could be very, very critical. You know what I'm saying? It's different. Like, you have some people that they just read paper books because some people just can't read, you know, ebooks. They got to read a paper book, a paperback book. Mm-hmm. So I think the difference is they are more settled. You know, they know that it's going to take time for that book to come out on paperback and be released and yada, 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 and blah, blah, blah. But I think when it comes to ebooks, the readers, they get very impatient. And I know that I might get impatient. I might be excited. But my thing is, I'd rather you take your time, because if you put out a book and it ain't right, then it's going to have to go another way, because then I'm going to have to voice that. No, I didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? So I do like them to take their time. But at the same time, I think that readers, especially ebook readers, we are very, very critical of these authors, and I think some authors fall into that, you know, where they listen to the reader, and it's like, it's nothing wrong with letting your reader push your pen and fuel your pen, and but ultimately it is the author's choice and decision on what they will put out, and it is the reader's choice and decision on what they will accept. You know what I'm saying? But you got to put out quality and not quantity, because sometimes quantity, it gets you mixed up. And it gets the readers mixed up, because it's like, oh, you pushing them to put this book out. They put it out, now you're complaining about it. Well,
right.
You didn't help the author or allow the author time. You was excited. They got excited. Now this is what you got.
Let me just clarify this.
But there are some.
Let me just clarify this for readers, because you're saying something that's catching my attention. You like the e-readers. Let me just say, clarify this for readers tonight. And I say this all the time, and I don't know if readers are just not getting it when I'm typing it on Facebook, but I'm saying it now. So let me just add some real clarity to this. There is no different process or cost to bring a book to the market, whether it is print or ebook. You still have the same exact process, the same exact thing has to be done. The book has to be edited, it has to be typeset, it has to be formatted, the cover has to be designed. It's the same exact thing. So whether it's in print or if it's in ebook, it is the exact same thing, which is another reason why I'd be telling people that there is not really too much any difference in how the prices should be from paperback to ebook, because it is the same cost to bring the book to the market properly. I'm not talking about these people that's just writing these stories and 1 week and then uploading it Friday night before they're on their way out to the club. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are actually paying the cost for a good cover, actually have went to a real editor and paid for an editor, actually went and got their manuscript formatted the right way when it was done and put it out. Those are the people I'm talking about. So let me just say, there's no difference in ebook and paperback. The only difference is how it feels in your hand. Either you're holding a Kindle or you're holding a paperback. But that book is that book. It's the same exact thing.
Definitely. And I think that's what it is, that sometimes readers, and I was there, but we didn't understand the process. And we don't understand the process of, you know, why does it take so long for, you know, this book to come out. You have to, I think, as a reader, if you have your favorite author, you have to know their cycle. Every author has a cycle. You have some authors that put out book after book after book, and 9 times out of 10, they took time to write each of those books. It just so happened that they have books ready at that point in time, and it took them however long to write them, and now they're ready, and they can put them out after book, but you have some authors that don't. Some authors put a book out once a year. You know, some authors put a book out every 6 months. Some put a book out every 3 months. But I think it's that we don't know or we don't understand the process, because we're not really truly involved in the process that it takes for you authors to put a book out. You know what I'm saying? We don't really understand that. Well, I understand now, because just the being with Nene and the editing process and then the book covers and then it's this and then it's that. Before that, I had no clue on actually what went into it. So even when you say it, Erin, I don't think because they don't do it on a regular basis or it's not something that they're involved in, I don't think they understand really the process. And it is a process.
Exactly.
Like,
that's probably
that editing, that line by line, I don't even see how y'all do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, line by line, and then they send it back with red marks.
That's why
on
I was
it?
Definitely trying to add a little clarity. So now, I say this often, though. I often say that because I see readers saying a lot, like, oh, I wouldn't pay this much for an e-book, or this. Why is this book taking so long? Just put it in an e-book. And that be happening because sometimes, you know, authors are at fault, too. Authors are just uploading books,
So the reader's thinking that it's really just that simple. Like, you see somebody writing a book, and they like, yo, I'm in the last chapter of my book. Y'all get ready to buy it tomorrow. Then you're going to be thinking, all right, that's how quick it is. Like, you ain't going to be thinking, like, yo, hold on, they ain't going to get this joint edited. They ain't going to get a format. Like, you're not thinking that. Like, the reader's just thinking, like, it's really just that simple, because a lot of these authors are really saying that, and then are really doing that. Just really skipping steps. Like, yo, I'm about to put this joint up right now. I'm done. So I'm putting it up. I'm not checking with nobody else. No editor, no proofreaders, nothing. I don't need nobody.
Mm-hmm. Portia, people, as a reader, you know, sometimes I don't necessarily have to know the backside of the business. I just enjoy the finished product. I just enjoy seeing a new book out. You know, I could be in a minority. It's not like I need to be in the author's business as far as what he's doing or she's doing. You know, my joy is just reading. I just love to read. So I don't need to know that. I just want to know that it's a quality book. I don't mind paying for whatever it is. I have no problem with that. You know, because you get what you pay for. I have no problem spending the money on whatever the author puts out. You know, he's done his job. My job is to buy it.
I really appreciate that, and I believe you, Tony, because you have, you know, proven that. But I know you see some of these posts that I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
On social media. So the people like you aren't saying these things, but the other people are voicing, you know, and like, hey, I want this now, or... You know, this and that. And then, like I said, authors are missing steps. So, you know, they're presenting it to the reader like it really is just that simple. So, of course, they don't know the process. They're going to be thinking like, yeah, like so-and-so just finished their book yesterday and I got it today. Why your book ain't out? No, for real.
But that's true. Authors. They think that Portia put a book out every 3 months, so Aaron Beeble, he need to put a book out every 2 months. You know, so then Portia book, you know, okay, well, I'm used to, you know, Portia's book being $9.99. And no, y'all, her book is $9.99. I'm just using that
as an
example.
Okay, thank you.
You know, her book, $9.99.
Please say that.
You got some that will buy it. You got some that won't buy it. They'll look at the page count. I'm saying, $9.99. Oh, it's only certain amount of pages. No, that's too much money for those amount of pages in the book. But you do have that. You have, you know, people, they break it all the way down, and they say, okay, well, the book is like, example, I just bought a book that was $12. It was an e-book. And I said, okay, $12. Now, first I looked at it, and I was like, no, I'm not going to spend $12 for an e-book. And then I thought about it. I was like, but I like what I like. And I went on and I bought the book, and I enjoyed the book. But that wasn't the only $12 book that I have, though. On one thing that I did, and I have noticed, is it depends on the publisher. Because certain publishers, depending on who their publisher is, you might spend $15 on that book, and it might not necessarily be the author's fault or decision or choice. Sometimes that's just what it is. And if it comes from a particular publisher, if you look at across the board, all of their books from that publisher are the same price. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with Tony. I don't care. I like what I like. If it's $10, if it's $2, if it's 99 cents, I'm going to buy it. Especially if I know that I enjoy whatever that author puts out. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have some authors that they may write, say, 3 books in a series. Okay, well, the new book may be $9.99 or $5.99 or however much they want to make it. But you have some authors that do think about the readers, and they'll say, okay, well, this is an older type book. I want to push the series. So they might make that first book 99 cent or $1.99 just so that they can draw new readers in, or that they can just give something back to their readers, saying that I understand that sometimes, you know, it's financially, it's just how it is. And so you have some authors that say, okay, well, this is an older book, so it's been out for a minute. I'm going to give them a little break financially on this, but, you know, this is a new book. It just came out, yada, yada, yada. they're going to spend, you know, that whatever it is on this particular book. So you do have some authors that do that as well. So, and that returning books, if you buy it, don't return it. If you
buy it and
you don't like it, do not return it. Especially an ebook. Even a paperback. It's nothing that they can do with that book once you have returned it. If you have read it, I feel like this, and I think it was Kiana that said it. If you buy a book and it's an ebook, I don't believe that, even though Aaron has broken down, I don't believe that Amazon should accept that book back. I don't think there should be any refunds on an ebook, because you can sample it, you can click the book and get a few pages of the book. You're going to know within the first chapter if you want to enjoy that book or not. You're going to be able to tell. If you buy it, don't return it. That's my rant for today.
I think, you know what, I gotta say this really honestly, you know, it's impossible for Amazon, just realistically, it's just real. It's impossible for Amazon to not have a return policy. You know what I mean? Like, all businesses, most of them, have a return policy. I just think that they need to get their return policy, they need to shape it better. They need to get it better. Like, since it's digital, they should be able to tell when someone has went through this whole book and read it. So under those circumstances, guess what? You can't return it. It's just like you wore this dress already type thing. You know what I mean? Like, now if they've purchased it and they might have only read 10% and they return it back within, you know, 24 hours, cool. I think they should be allowed to get their money back. I just think that the policy needs to be better monitored and it needs to be shaped better in the sense. And I think that's another thing, like authors be online beefing, but they don't be beefing about anything of any real substance. Like, we're not getting together and saying, hey, you know what, let's demand that Amazon sets up a call center. They're making way too much money off of us as authors for us to have to send them an email every time something is wrong with our account with these e-books. I need to speak to somebody, like right now, because you're making way too much money off of me. You know, but...
You mean y'all don't have nobody to talk to when something's wrong?
Nope, you got to send an email.
Nah. But see, when you start talking like that, see, that's not popular on Facebook. So when I start talking like that, that's when people be like, man, you know, people over there talking that. People over there talking crazy again, and people would just be like, don't mess with him. Don't mess with him. You know what I mean? And people be following
that. I did not even know that. But I was getting Bebo's book, and it didn't come to me like everybody around me was getting the book. I was calling. I was so tired of talking to Amazon customer service. But it's hard to believe that y'all have nobody that y'all can physically talk to when something is not right.
You
to
know
me,
why, though? You know why? Because it's not that we don't have it. It's because there's no organization. Like, your voice can only be heard when it's really a voice. We too busy over here bickering with each other. Ain't nobody talking about not in the substance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'll be thinking about other things. Like, honestly, like, any beef I've ever had, if I have any beef, because I don't even know about it, like, I've never had any book beef because I've never had beef with anybody about anything with my books. Any type of drama I've had, it's been something personal. With people I don't even live with, like people who don't even know me personally. So that already lets me know that it has nothing to do with books. It's all, you know, the game. People need to pay attention to what they're into instead of paying attention to what somebody's personal life is about. We could probably all get better. We could all probably make further steps like that.
Absolutely.
All I got is just facts for you, just the real.
Absolutely. We only got about 7 minutes. Portia, we want you to tell us what you have upcoming, if you have any authors coming out, what's going on in your camp, what can we expect from your pen.
All right, well, I am working on Ride or Die Bitch 3. It's Empire State of Mind. My characters are going to be in New York City this time. Ride or Die Bitch 2, they were in Miami, so now I'm taking them to New York. I also have Three Kings that'll be out later this year. I have a great bunch of authors. We just had a release came out by Jacquel J. Her book was called Ain't No Wifey, so I want everybody to check that out. Roses, Jewels, and Married Men just came out. You can check us at royaltypublishinghouse.com, and you'll see all of the books under us. And I just hope that everybody gets a chance to just check out what I have. You can check my website, portiasterling.com, and I do want to shout out my royalty fam and also Team Bankroll Squad.
Absolutely.
Okay.
See, you got some fire coming out. My best to do the Nene Capri. Go ahead, B.
Oh, I just want to ask one more thing. Where can people connect with you personally, like not outside of your website? They shout out to Twitter, your Facebook.
Yeah.
You know.
They can connect with me through Facebook, Portia Sterling. Twitter is Queen Portia. Also, my Instagram is Queen Portia also. I'm not the author that interacts directly with whoever. Like, people send me inboxes. They ask me personal questions. You know, they ask for my advice on personal issues, all of that. I love speaking to everybody. That's probably the best way to reach me is through Facebook, but I'm also on Twitter and Instagram also.
Okay. Thank you
for
joining the clubhouse, and we're going to leave you before you leave us with a little bit of the hustler's ambition, because we want you to keep it motivated and keep it moving.
Okay.
Light the fire, need the air.
Yeah.
I won't burn unless you're there.
I need you to hate.
Feel it. America got a thing for this gangster shit. They love me. Black chuckers, black scully, leather pele pele. I take spit over rainbow shit. I'm a vandal, got that silver duct tape on my tray handle. The women in my life bring confusion and shit. So like Nino William Jack, I'll cancel that bitch. Look at me. This is the life I chose, niggas around me so cold. Man, my heart unfroze. I build an empire on a load of knocks. Don't know I'm the weatherman. I take that cocoa leaf and make that snow. Sit back, watch it turn the dough. Watch it go out the door. O after O, you know. Homie, I'm just triple beam, dreaming. Niggas be scheming. I finna live the good life. The fiends are just feeling. Conceal my weapon nice and neat so you can't see. The penitentiary is definitely out the question for me. I want to find a thing to save my life. So I hustle, hustle. If you get in my way while I'm trying to get mine, and I'll fuck you, fuck you. I don't care who you run with or where you from. Nigga, fuck you, fuck you. I want to find a thing to save my life.
Yeah, I don't know shit about gymnastics. I summer throw bricks. When black talent start flying, when a nigga flip, I cook crack in the microwave. Niggas can't fuck with me, man. My code D, call me Chef Boy, y'all 50. Check my logic. Smokers don't like seasoning weed shit. Send me them seeds, I grow them what they need. Come make see a pet plants in the crib, that's chronic. And I'm selling them for 500 a pop, goddammit. I sell anything, I'm a hustler, I know how to grind. Step on grapes, put it in water and tell you it's wine. If you analyze me, what you will find is the DNA of a crook, and what goes on in my mind is intense, hypnotic. It sounds melodic, the rappers, the block or spot, I be that potent product. Now get a load of me, flashy, far from low key, and you can locate me wherever that dope be getting money, man.
I want to find a thing to save my life, so I hustle, hustle. Nigga, you get in my way while I'm trying to get mine, and I'll buff you, buff you. I don't care who you run with or where you from. Nigga, fuck you, fuck you. I want to find a thing to save my life. So I hustle, hustle.
It's the hustler's ambition. Close your eyes, listen, see my vision. Mossberg pumping, shotgun jumping. The drama means nothing, it's part of the game. Catch me in the coupe, switching lanes. Or in the jeweler, switching chains. I upgrade from dirty BS to clean BS. Rocks that I cop with proceeds from the spot. I got the energy to win. I'm full of adrenaline, play the curve and get nauseous. Watching the spin, I make plans to make it. A prisoner of the state. Now I can invite your ass out to my estate. Them hollow chips set me up, but I'm back in shape. Pour Cristal in the blender, make a protein shake. I'm like the East Coast number one playboy B. You have to tell you he ain't got shit on me. The feds watching, icy, they can't stop me. Racist, pointing at me, looking niggerazzi. Hello.
I want to find the things in my life, so I hustle, hustle. If you get in my way while I'm trying to get mine, and I'm above you, above you. I don't care who you run with or who you from, nigga, fuck you, fuck you. I want to find the things in my life, so I hustle, hustle.